welcome you for the evening service at Bethel Baptist Church. And as always, we do so. We open our hymn books at number 255. That's our real beginning of the evening service. And tonight, with no exception, we keep on the book of Revelation, hopefully finish chapter 9 and learn the horrendous attack of God on the world for disobedience. 255. Together. Our Heavenly Father, we come to you in the name of Jesus, our Lord, and we have no other name to come to you because there is no other high priest except Jesus himself. And so, Father, we pray that as we fellowship again, that our songs will reflect the true heart of our life, the desire to say thank you, thank you, thank you, Lord, for your grace and for your mercy and for your love. It was not for your grace and mercy, we will not be here. And so thank you, Father. And now, Lord, as we go later on and study the awfulness of your reaction to the world, we do understand with great joy that the believers will not be touched in any horrendous thing. We thank you, Father, that even if we are touched, we end up in the presence of the divine God and we are blessed. But, Father, thank you for the information so that we are no surprise when we see the events that follow in this world one after the other. Bless us and rich fellowship. Bless those who have left and went to their homes. The traffic is heavy. And so, Father, thank you for giving us a full Sunday. And thank you for letting us fellowship in the day that you have assigned to us. In Jesus, we pray with thanksgiving. Amen. All right. We select your son that will be the blessedness to our life to sing one stanza. I sing as many songs as possible. All right, Brother Greggy.
How about 442?
442. All right. Looks like they were, yeah, Greggy is too young. So your wife looked to your son. No, he's still young. He's still young. lots of sin. Praise him. 442 that we sing this morning. Let's sing.
This is the number two. This morning we sing number one and number three. So let's sing number two, okay?
Yeah.
of Monday, Brother McDowell is going to experience an experimental surgery on his leg. He doesn't have a clot, but the veins, as we get older, get stretched. So a new doctor, young fella, is going to do the surgery. It's going to be broadcast, televised to the East Coast. It's the first time done in America. They're going to cut from the lions on the back, on the top, and they're going to put a wire and ream the veins and put a vacuum, take it wherever it's there, in the four main veins of his leg, and then go home. He said he doesn't know at what time. He's going to be there at 8 o'clock in El Camino Hospital. Doesn't know at what time exactly it's going to be done, but he will be home by 8 o'clock in the night. And so if you can, you just give a call to see how he's doing. He has the leg doesn't have the exercise, and has a little pain. It is not because of the nerve system. They discovered that the veins, as we grow older, they get a little stretched. And these young doctor feel that this will have a great result. We'll avoid viruses. We'll avoid all kinds of things in the future for people who eventually they are candidate for clots. This will eliminate it. So he volunteered himself. He said, anyway, so that's one. On Tuesday morning, and Dr. McCormick will be in Stanford tomorrow just for blood tests, x-rays, everything that goes before the surgery. And then on Tuesday morning, he will have the surgery. We don't have the scheduled time yet. Brother Cassandra, myself will be there, but we don't know at what time exactly. So you pray for both of these gentlemen that the Lord allow them to have the surgery and perhaps alleviate the pains they're affected. All right? That is good. All right, good to see little Casey. That made me afraid to see a baby so small, no? But it's so beautiful. It's all you children want to be missionary. This morning I want you all politicians, but I want to change the thing. I want to be all missionaries. All right. I see a son from my darling over there. Tell me. Jesus loves me. Okay. All right, boys. It's early in the game, but let's come. 479, all together here. All right, I'm going to miss you. You know that? I'm going to miss you. But you just stay with me. Tell your mommy to go. You stay with me. All right? You stay there. Come on, Mikey, Christina. Christina and Mike. Pastor is calling Christina and Mike. All right? Come on. Michael. All right, good. Thomas. Okay. Michael, run. Come here. Hey, come. All right, I guess when they say no in China. All right, here it is. All right, 479.
Jesus loves me, yes, I know. For that I know sounds sweet so.
There to you remember when you were doing that, Anthony? All right, okay, it's amazing how that's the way it's supposed to be. Yes, tell me what's on the circumstances 479. See what him 528 second stanza. You want to sing it here? You said. Oh, all right. Don't be scared. Second stanza of 528.
Yeah.
to sing the second part. Always we sing the first one, and it's nice to have the second part here. All right, another song that we praise the Lord. Anthony will tell us. 440. All right, and you people want to, I guess, Lee Prater preach on the service at 2 o'clock. And Ralph, you were there, and yeah. Things were okay?
Yeah, about 33 people, and he preached on God the Provider.
Well, God is Provider, and it's true. It's true. All right, God's in Control was the sermon in the morning, and then God's the Provider. 33, and you got notes, Brother just in your mind before Jack give you the report that there were 33 people there. 440, I will go wherever he needs to go. Lives few blocks now from Midian, and I just want to let you know that he wrote me a letter, a personal letter that Midian handled to me, and he puzzled in his heart what he's going to do with his life. He's still weak after 3 hours of being up that had no more resistance. They think that the Chernobyl, remember, atomic, the doctors are discovering that damaged the kidneys, and calcium has been shut and do not produce to the body. And that's something that if it's really the prognosis is in that fashion, then they will have to do something different. But he asked me, well, what should I do with my life and this and the other? The mission is still have him in line. And the fact that he lives in Russia there, I have no enough sunshine, maybe 1 month a year sunshine, And no sun. You know, as you receive the sun, the kidneys produce the calcium. And so he is in difficulty. So I beg your prayers. I had to answer him tomorrow. And I will study a letter. He's a dear friend, part of the relative family. But he wants to serve the Lord. And he said, I don't have the energies. And I don't know what to do with my life. Very difficult. Very difficult. And his wife works as a maid in town. So that's to support part of the family. Because the mission money works in foreign country, but doesn't work enough here, see? So we will, you pray that I will guide him in the thoughts that he should have. And first one is the medical. You have to be strong. All right, I see Andrew's hand. Yes, sir. Number 37. And you know the title? Whoa, you know how to read in English. That's good. How great thou art. All right, that is good. Now, you know the title in Spanish, Greg Jr.? How great thou art. Now, Spanish is very tricky here. Doesn't translate word by word. In Spanish, use a philosophical sentence. Cuán grande es él? How big is he? The entire difference, the concept. If you say in Spanish, how great thou art, means nothing. But if you say, cuán grande es él, that makes the difference, all right? That's why the song's titles are different. You have to learn, Greg. If you go to heaven, you know, imagine. All right. Give you my schedule this week. I'll be from Monday to Thursday here at church, and then on Friday I will be traveling to Jennings Park, which is just below Yosemite in Sonora, where Nacho sent greetings to you, by the way. He told me the first conference full is 500 pastors and deacons, and the second is 448 so far. He said we have a few more spaces, but I'll be here until Thursday, and be teaching the book of Nehemiah that you study, three sermons, a man with purpose. He learned to pray, he learned to listen, and he learned to make decisions. That's the first two chapters. I wrote my thesis in that in the seminary, and I want to teach it in Spanish. I had to work very hard to translate all the thoughts into Spanish. I have all the printouts, booklets on the market, and it's just beautiful. I'm just excited that the Lord is using these people. For your information, there are 13,700 Spanish churches only in the state of California. So it's a lot. And I received another call from Fort Worth, Texas, the seminary there, the headquarters. They said, will you come and teach a class here for 6 months? And then you go to the East Coast, where there's more than 20,000 Spanish churches. What happened to Spanish people? Where they, how come there are so many? I said, no, I'm a pastor of a church. I'm not. So are you retired? No, I'm not retired. So yes, I'm not that age. All right. What is your son, all right? Yes, Marilyn. 441. And let me ask you, Marilyn, before I go over there, is the son... is the cantata going to be done on the 18th or on the 25th? 18 in the night. All right, you got it? Your sermon out. Okay, 441. All right, and you can use the entire time, and we will broadcast in the evening. Is that right, in the evening or in the morning? In the evening. All right, whatever you said. All right, see, I'm a good hustle, whatever you said. 441, love listening. The live luncheon there in Jacqueline Box this afternoon. We laugh a lot. We really have a great time. And Russell tried to sell me a car. All right. He has become a car salesman for Idaho. All right. Okay. All right. Yes, sir. Right in the back. 380. All right. Rise up, the men of God. Thank you, sir. That's wonderful. Get Grace and then Lara.
15.
Grace, maybe you have to sing a solo. We don't. 15. Let's see. Well, the Dulilos all can sing except that. Even under. Brethren, we have meet to worship. 15. That's good. But we've never seen. To the book of Revelation, and I'm sure we're going to complete chapter 9 in the book of Revelation, and we have a study fifth trumpets, five trumpets from the book of Revelation, the five marvelous lessons that God will give us, and today we'll get trumpet number 6. And I'm ahead of you about one trumpet, and you're going to be surprised, and I'm going to be surprised. I discovered it. My eyes were open like that, and you will see it in my next study, whatever that comes into, because I'm two Sundays out, but when I come in November, is trumpet number 7, and it has to be on the second Sunday, because first Sunday is the farewell for the Dulilo family. But You'll be surprised that God made a statement. You can read it in chapter 10. God made a statement saying, and I reserve not to tell you when this trumpet will come. And every one of the others, there is a sequence. And this one, and I reserve you when the trumpet will come. It says, so shut the book right here. So anybody who says, who intends to calculate God's judgment, at least you go against a big wall. All right. Let's read here in Revelation chapter 9. And we're going to read the entire verses from 9 to 21. And I'm going to ask my brother Ken DeLillo to come here. Here's my Bible open, brother. And oh, you have it? All right. And if you read it for me, he has a good voice. He's going to come from Idaho every Sunday to here.
The whole chapter?
No, from 12 to 21.
12 to 21.
Big letters are here.
Ah, good.
You see?
Heavenly language. Revelation 9, verse 12. One woe is past, and behold, there come two woes more hereafter. And the sixth angel sounded, and I heard a voice from the four horns of the golden altar, which is before God, saying to the sixth angel, which had the trumpet, loose the four angels, which are bound in the great river Euphrates. And the four angels were loosed, which were prepared for an hour, and a day, and a month, and a year, for to slay the third part of men. And the number of the army of the horsemen were 200,000, and I heard the number of them. And thus I saw the horses in the vision, and them that sat on them, having breastplates of fire, and of jacinth, and of brimstone. And the heads of the horses were as the heads of lions, and out of their mouths issued fire, and smoke, and brimstone. By these three was the third part of men killed, by the fire, and by the smoke, and by the brimstone, which issued out of their mouths. For the power is in their mouth, and in their tails, for their tails were like unto serpents, and had heads, and with them they do hurt. And the rest of the men, which were not killed by these plagues, yet repented not of the works of their hands, that they should not worship devils, and idols of gold, and silver, and brass, and stone, and of wood, which neither can see, nor hear, nor walk. Neither repented they of their murders, nor of their sorceries, nor of their fornication, nor of their thefts.
Thank you, my brother. The trumpet blast of judgment is going to fall upon the earth, and upon the ungodly and evil of this world. And if anything comes out of the large study of the book of Revelation, one thing I want you to remember, that a flood in any part of the world, an earthquake in California, these things are not signs that the Lord is coming. The sign is that a supernatural thing will happen. You can explain, I don't know if you saw National Geographic last week, explaining how earthquake happened. And so man have learned how the natural disaster, it's called natural disasters. But a supernatural disaster is something you cannot explain, like a one pair, every kind of tree will die. Wet grass will get fire and things like that, all right? Blood will be on the rivers and so on. So the trumpet blast of judgment is going to fall upon the earth. The first four trumpet blast upon and fell, the Bible said, and when they fell will blast nature, no mankind, nature. Horrifying and catastrophic events destroy one third of vegetation, as you remember, water supply, sea life, and the shipping and fishing commerce of the world will be shut off because of the supernatural work of God. Now, notice that the first four trumpet judgment, man will not be afflicted. the life of people will be spared. That is, man's body will not be attacked. His body will not suffer any massive ill effect from the catastrophes. That's why man is going to feel safe. And we're trying to explain all of the things that happen. Now, the last three trumpet judgments will be directed against mankind, and millions of men and women will be afflicted and completely destroyed. The fifth trumpet, the first of the three wars, could only torture men, not kill them. Remember, we studied that. They were like scorpions. You got the poison, you do not die, but you are suffering. But now the sixth trumpet blasts, for it is judgment, and is strong, and another mass of demons come forth, said the Bible. Our brother read the scripture. This time, however, there is a difference. And an astronomical number of the ungodly and evil of this world will die at the judgment of God. And you have an outline. They came, there is the same page I put on. And now the sixth trumpet, the very end of the outline, I don't know if there are more in the back or not, but if you don't have one, they were in the back. The last part of the outline give you what are we going to do this tonight. We're going to look at the background that is given in verse 12. And then we're going to look at the first move. And it's four angels, verse 13 to 15, four angels set loose. And then we're going to look, verse 16 to 19, the judgment is fallen upon humanity. And then we're going to look, verse 20 to 21, the purpose behind the judgments. And may God add to this wisdom to our life so that we live a godly life in the presence of God and in the presence of his angels. And we are the only people on earth that knows this. This is like a very secret governmental information. The unbelievers have it. They have Bibles, but they don't believe it. And so that's how they're going to be surprised. Let's take the background, verse 12. I'll read it again. And they heard a great voice from heaven saying unto them, come up hither. And they ascended up to heaven in a cloud, and their enemies beheld. Excuse me, I'm reading the wrong information. I no wonder. Number 9, chapter 9, verse 9. And they had breastplates as it, what I'm ruining, let me see. Boom, back into business. Now I got it. Verse 12. One war is past, and behold, there come two wars more hereafter. More wars lie ahead. Now, the war judgment of God are the trumpet judgment that zero in. One war has already covered. You know what it was? It was the fifth trumpet. It was already covered. That's the fifth trumpet. But two more war judgments are to fall upon the unbelievers of the world. And so that's the background. God is saying one judgment already passed. Now two are coming. This is what God is saying. Okay? Let's look upon the first move, which includes four angels set loose, verse 13 to 15. Three facts are given about their being loose. Verse 13 said this, and the sixth angel sounded, and I heard a voice from the four horns of the golden altar, which is before God. So verse 13 tells us they are set loose by a command given from the golden altar. See, the six angels sounded, and I hear a voice from the four horns of the golden altar. And so properly we can say that the command is given from God. So God is the only one who knows. God is the only one who determines. God is the only one who commands how to come to the end. Now, this is the altar where the prayers of God's people are kept. See, the altar mentioned here in verse 13, I heard a voice from the four corners of the golden altar, which is before God. This is the altar where the prayers of God's people are kept. And if you move your eyes to chapter 8, verse 3 and 4, you will see what I said. I'm reading chapter 8, verse 3 and 4. And another angel came and stood at the altar, having a golden censer, and there was given unto him much incense, that he should offer it with the prayers of all the saints upon the golden altar which was before the throne. And the smoke of the incense which came with the prayers of the saints ascended upon before God out of the angel's hand. So the voice of command came from the prayers, from the altar who holds the prayers. And many commentators said this, that God heard the prayers, and now he fulfilled the will of the prayers. That's what they said. The Bible doesn't say that, but that the Bible said they come out of the altar, that God holds all the prayers of the believers through the entire world. This indicates that God launches his judgment to vindicate the prayer of his people, some people said, and I think it may be true, that God have stored these prayers, these prayers are in this altar, and now God's going to honor your prayers. See why prayer is so important? God is going to honor your prayer. Maybe it's no answer for 3,000 years, but the day that God answered that prayer is going to come through. See, again, God has the timing. God has the absolute command in this business. God is in charge of this, and God is designing this. Man cannot find anything about it. It's all of God. So verse 13 tells me then that these angels are loose at the command of God, amazing enough, from the altar who hold the prayers of the believer. Verse 14, the four released angels are bound at the great river Euphrates. Look at verse 14. Saying to the six angels which had the trumpet, loose the four angels which are bound in the great river Euphrates. Now, the four release then happened there, and angels are bound at the great river Euphrates, and now said, now we have to get those guys out. The Euphrates was the western boundary of the promised land, remember, that God promised to Abraham in Genesis 12. And therefore, beyond the Euphrates can be looked upon as the outer reaches of the earth, as the place where the enemies of man are kept. I thought to myself when I learned that, that God kept the evils in the Euphrates River, that here's the Holy Land of Israel, and God will not place in that Holy Land any angel with evilness. He will place it outside. What a great sign, and this again is a meditation, is an interpretation. What a great sign that in heaven and the boundaries of heaven, there will be not unbelievers. Because here on this earth, when God took these unbeliever angels, they sinned and Satan was allowed to be free, but the others were in jail, God placed them outside the promised land. And this is how God's going to place the unbelievers outside the presence of the living God. Now verse 15 comes in, and the first move. And the four angels were loose, and they prepared to execute judgment upon the earth. Look at verse 15. And the four angels were loose, which were prepared for an hour and a day and a month and a year for to slay the third part of men. Now I'm going to read it again so that you get the picture here. Verse 15, and the four angels were loose, which were prepared for an hour, for a day, for a month, and for a year. Now, that's the way the Hebrew read the time, okay? You don't say 15 of December and so on. You tell them the hour, you tell them the day, and that's the way you write the time. So I can say that this is very important, that God has already set time for this judgment upon the earth. He has set the year, he has set the month, he has set the day, and he has set the hour. That's what that verse means. He put the month, he put the day, he put the year, he put the month, he put the day, and he put the hour. And it's amazing enough that in English and Greek reads left to right, and they wrote it just as the Hebrew will write it. and describe it. Yes, Russ.
Pastor, are you saying that the imprisoned angels are going to do the dirty work here?
They're the dirty work here. They are. They were in let's use the word in jail there in Euphrates River, and God's going to use them, seems to me what the scripture said, to do the dirty work. All right. Okay. Now, so you got the picture. The first move is to prepare who's going to do the dirty work, as Russell put it, and I think it's correct. Who's going to do this? It's going to be people that have been prepared for centuries and years there outside the kingdom of God. Now, verse 16 to 19 reflects this, that the judgment is fallen upon humanity. And there are three things that are said about this demonic mass catastrophe. Look at verse 16. And the number of the army of the horsemen were 200,000, and I heard the number of them. There will be an army of 200 million demonic people, 1,000 by 1,000, million. All right? 200,000 times 1,000 is 200 million. And there will be an army of 200 million demonic people. So when people are talking about we are in the Great Tribulation, I had no idea. They have not read the book, don't we? If you think that you got problems in your work, or you got problems in families, or you, in the city got problems, and the homosexuals go around and all this, you think that is the Great Tribulation, you miss it. You miss it. 200 million demonic, evil people God's going to use for this. All right? Verse 17. Look at what the verse 17 says. And thus I saw the horses in the vision, and them that sat on them, having breastplates of fire and jacinth and brimstone, and the heads of horses were of the heads of lions, and out of their mouth issued fire and smoke and brimstone. Now, the people of this army will have breastplates, which symbolizes that they will be indestructible. Mankind cannot touch them. Then protected and defended as they go to war against the ungodly of the world. Mankind will not be able to stop them. That's a sign of the Great Tribulation. It's not something that happened, like happened in Ohio yesterday, 2 days ago. The Nazi Party raised around and destroyed, and then the black people of Ohio came in and destroyed part of the city and so on, and the police had to come and put people in jail and all this. That's not a Great Tribulation. Great Tribulation is that when the evil comes in, no one will stop it, will perform. Verse 18, they will kill one third of mankind who are unbelievers. Look at verse 18. By these three was the third part of men killed. Men over there is anthropos, which is mankind. Mankind will be killed by the fire and by the smoke and by the brimstone which issue out of their mouth. In other words, there will be such a chaos, such a dirty work, that's a good word that was used. The one third of the unbeliever, remember verse 4, I want you to look into verse 4, chapter 9, verse 4, and it was commanded them that they should not hurt of the grass, and neither any green thing, neither any tree, but only those men which have no the seal of God in their forehead. And remember Ephesians 1:13. After you heard the word of truth, and after you believed the word of truth, ye were sealed with the Spirit of God. Remember Ephesians 4:30 that says that you were sealed until the day of redemption. And so these people cannot affect the believers, but boy, the unbelievers are for the three. Look at verse 19. For their power is in their mouth and in their tails, for their tails were like unto serpents and had head, and with them they do hurt. In other words, the previous trumpet was scorpions, which I explained to you, there was is not fatal. A scorpion is not fatal. They give you terrible pain, but not fatal. But these are serpent, and this is fatal and is gone. Now, you say, is any reference in the Bible like this? Yes, it is. And you can go in your home and look Sodom and Gomorrah. Okay? Let me show you Jude. Let's go to Jude before Revelation. Let's go to Jude and read Jude verse 7. Jude is only one chapter. And let's go to Jude verse 7. Even as Sodom and Gomorrah and the cities about them in like manner, giving themselves over to fornication and going after strange flesh, are set for an example, suffering the vengeance of eternal fire. And so God is announcing that he is not going to tolerate this world under the freedom that they take and under the prerogative that they take, that they are in command of the world. As we studied this morning, surprise to many, the government was set by God just to do what the Bible says. A government was not set by God to say, well, religion is in your home, and in the Congress and in the White House, we do what we want. That was not the ideal government of God. And it's easy to study. You read the book of Genesis, and first God had the government of people. How Moses got the law? Who told him the law? God, mouth to mouth. How Moses guide his people? Mouth to mouth. And then after Moses, Joshua, and then the people say, oh, we remember the Egyptians have a king. We want a king. And God gave a very dirty king, Saul first, and then David. But God wants to have the prerogative to tell you what to do and not to do. And that's exactly what happened here. God's going to intervene. And the same thing that he did in Sodom and Gomorrah, he's going to do in this world. Now, verse 20 to 21 in Revelation chapter 9, they give you the purpose behind the judgment. People say often to me, if it's a loving God, if it's a loving God, why this happened or the other happened? Now, look at verse 20 and 21. And the rest of mankind, which were not killed by these plagues, yet repented not of the works of their hands. So it seems to me that God's going to attack one-third of the world who are unbelievers, but there were other unbelievers would be in the world to see if they repent, and they will not repent, said the scripture. Repented not of the works of their hand, that they should not worship devils and idols of gold and silver and brass and stone and of wood, which neither can see, nor hear, nor walk. Neither repented they of their murders, nor of their sorceries, nor of their fornication, nor of their death. They are people who will never repent, regardless what God does. And they are people who will never learn, regardless what God does. Two Saturdays ago, we had a most difficult funeral in our church. I have done very difficult funerals, but this one was more difficult because it was personal. I have been hired by funeral homes to do funerals in very tough situations, sometimes in cemeteries, and sometimes I have stories after story, what I have done when I was in the radio. But here in our own church, we have very difficult, and not because of the person who died, but because the people that were around him, the family members. And one of the family members asked me, he said, what are the saints in this church? We went into the sanctuary, and there is no saints. I said, well, there are a few of them, and they are well dressed up, and they are on the right side of the auditorium. And so they came in and sit down. They never say a word to me back again. But see, some people are unbelievers, and they will believe in a statue. They know it's no good. They know they can't speak. They know they can do nothing, but they will believe it. I have to say, have to be of God, that God don't cause them to repent. And this is what happened here. Verse 21 said, neither repent they of their murders, neither repent they of their lifestyle. So evidently, there was opportunity to repent when these plagues came down. But the Bible states that the survivors do not do so. It is a sad commentary upon mankind, don't you think? A very sad commentary. Even the most horrible of the judgment does not cause sinners to repent. Now, history tells us that this will be true. Even though his country was devastated by 10 plagues, the Pharaoh of Egypt in Moses' time, what happened? Did not repent. He agreed When people say, well, we're going to agree. I don't care about agree. About, do you repent? You can agree. And because Pharaoh agreed, yes, I will let you go. Take everybody. But he did not repent. After a while, he said, oh, I want to get those guys. And remember, and he sent the army after them. And Moses lifted up his hand and the ocean and the sea opened and so on. So we have in history these well recorded that even though 10 devastating plagues infected the land of Egypt, they did not repent. John drew attention to the fact that the rest of mankind did not repent of the works of their hand. That is impressive. That mankind knows what they're doing and they don't want to stop it. That is man-made objects of worship more and more. Like the Gentiles in Romans 1, 21 and 22. Let's go over there. Romans 1, 21 and 22 will tell you what people do today. It is amazing. Let me get to there. Romans chapter 1, 21 and 22. Because that when they knew God, they glorified him not as God, neither were thankful, but became vain in their imaginations, and their foolish heart was darkened. Professing themselves to be wise, they became fool. Period. That's exactly what happened. They persisted in their refusal to glorify the one through God, and they turn to idols. And mankind do that. They are hardened rebels that they want their own way at any cost. They want to do what they want. So I thought to myself, what is wrong with mankind? The answer, Jeremiah 17 and verse 9. What is wrong with mankind? Jeremiah 17 and verse 9. The heart is deceitful. The inward part of mankind is deceitful above all things. And I translate the next word, and beyond cure. Who can understand it? People go to psychologists, psychiatrists to think. Who can understand it? Amazing. Nobody. Our only hope is God's mercy upon his people. And God speaks about that in Deuteronomy chapter 7 and verse 9. That's the only hope of mankind. God's mercy upon his people. Deuteronomy chapter 7 verse 9. Know therefore, said the scripture, that the Lord thy God, he is Elohim. Know therefore that Jehovah thy Elohim, he is Elohim, the faithful Elohim, which keepeth covenant and what? And mercy with them that love him and keep his commandments to 1,000 generations. So the mercy of the world is still in the hands of God. It's still in the hands of God. It is not that we're going to improve. It is not that we're going to be better. It is God who is kind and gentle with us. This is the message of Revelation 9 on the sixth trumpet. Don't get discouraged. You are saved because of God's mercy, not because you are smart. All right? Because no one of us is pure. No one of us. But God is pure. And through Christ Jesus, we become pure in his presence. And remember 1 John, when we confess our sins, then God purifies our life on this earth. Brother Raj.
Pastor, I'm getting where I understand most of the Bible pretty well until I get into Revelation. And it then I understand that the Bible is not a point where I get confused.
Okay.
Okay, the Lord is coming down with the shout. I understand that. But is that before these plagues?
Okay, these plagues... Okay, these plagues are the tribulation, and God comes after this. Jesus comes after this, yes. You will see on the number 7. Well, they do not see, they still people being saved. So God's still preaching the gospel. So the theology of the rest, then people believe that God's going to take the church and then the tribulation. Who's going to preach without the Holy Spirit? Will be empty. Okay, you don't have the Holy Spirit, will be empty. So the church is still, when God removed the believers, the Holy Spirit go. And that's what Mr. Hale Campion said. God has removed the Holy Spirit from the church so nobody can be saved. Theoretically, he's right. If God has removed the Holy Spirit, yes, that's true. No. I mean, they're different theologies. It's called the premillennial position. No, it's a premillennial position. But that's what I said. I pray you read the Bible, and you will see in chapter 10 and 11 that God comes at the very end of this. And now remember always Revelation 9:4. The believers, the ones who are sealed, they will not be touched. And some people say, oh, how can the believer go through that? Well, we don't go through that. We are in the world, but the unbelievers are suffering. We are not. That's it. Brother Ken. Yes.
Okay. That's an awful lot of people in the army. There's no army that's big today.
Yeah.
Could you glean from that that's a ways off into the future?
Exactly.
To say that this would happen like next year or 1994 or whenever, that's a bunch of hogwash because there's no army in the world. In fact, I don't think if you took all the armies in the world and added them together that it would even come close to
200
million people.
If not people look to these, let me tell you the speculation. There are a lot of books, like Russell said, that will confuse you. Just read the Bible. The speculation is this, that China will be, not that I wasn't going against China or against any country like that. There will be evil people that will be moved into power, and 200 million, the earth is what, 6 billion now? Maybe the earth will be 10 billion at that time, and then we get 200 million. So it's way ahead. Doesn't mean we're going to do what we want, but it's way ahead, okay? That's good. That's a good observation. When I saw that number, I said, that sounds.
Now, 100 years ago, there wasn't 200 million people in the whole world.
Yeah. That's true, but it's accelerating procreation and so on, so it's possible. Yes, Greg?
So with respect to Russ about preaching and the pre-tribulation rapture picture, it's kind of Romans 10, where it talks about how can the people be saved unless they hear, and how can they hear unless...
Yeah. Well, I'm going to answer Russ with... I'm going to give you a verse of Russ to help you. Let's go to Matthew chapter 24. That's good. That's why we have these classes here in the evening, so that you can clear up your mind if I could, okay? and Russell's question is the timing of Christ's presence. And here in Matthew 24 and verse 15, the Bible, the verse 14 said, "And this gospel of the kingdom shall be preached in all the world for a witness unto all the nations, and then the end shall come. And when ye therefore shall see the abomination," on, let's go to verse 29 now. The gospel is preached to the end, then come verse 29. "Immediately after the tribulation of those days shall the sun be darkened, and then Jesus come." You see it, Russ? And verse 29. So that means that God has given you a timetable, not a date, but a timetable. It's going to be preaching the gospel all the way to the very end, said verse 14. All right? So if I have a chalk here, I will say line number one will be the gospel to the coming of the Lord. Line number two will be that a tribulation will end and then Christ come. So the tribulation will go until the very end. So the gospel will be preached and the tribulation will be together. And then the end come when Christ come.
Seen anything to sway me one way or another or anything else, and I don't believe in the 1,000-year reign.
Well, when I get into the into that chapter, we talk because I'm building the positive mind chapter by chapter. I could answer that, but I don't have enough ground yet shared with the church to do that. So we go into there. But what I want the church to understand is this. Number one, the tribulations are supernatural. So supernatural, even a number. I will add what Ken said tonight. That 200 million people, army. I'm not talking about a city. I'm talking about army, okay? Then all of these things, one-third of the earth will be water. One-third of every kind of tree will be eliminated. Grass full of water will be on fire and things like that. So it'll be supernatural. The next thing is the gospel will continue. The believers will be untouched, verse 4. And now I add Matthew's, who said the gospel will be to the end, the tribulation will be to the end, and immediately after the tribulation, I mean, there will be no time period of 1,000 years, immediately after the tribulation, the Lord will come. So we're going, when we get to Revelation 20, we're going to study what that 20,000 will be. All right. Oh, yes.
That doesn't say that. It said that the gospel will be continuous preached and the Christian will be untouched. That says it will be under persecution. There's a lot of movies and things saying Christians will be burned and so on. It doesn't say that. They said that we will be untouched. See? So that's the giveaway.
Well, if it's 200 million people attacking everybody, but God is directing the attack toward the unbelievers. Remember, one third of the world, unbelievers. To see if the other part of the world, the other two thirds, repent. And the Bible we read tonight, they repent not. But the gospel keep on going. Believers will be untouched. I can say, don't be afraid of any city or any place. If you live holy, you're untouched. Yeah, yes, sir.
In regards to the 200 million, it says that the horses have heads like lions and every fight.
These are figures that I don't know what that means. And people speculate all these things and the other. I
say to you, the horse of a lion means this and the other, but that will be my imagination. So whatever, I don't know, Anthony. Okay, but there will be an army. Yeah, otherwise I will be imagining and speculating, and that's not Bible class. We know, see, that's what's difficult, Revelation, Brother Rush, because there are things that we know in concept, but we don't know in detail. And we like to know in detail, but we will never know. All right? Okay. Now, if it said the heads will be like a lion, then I would say the Bible talks about what is the head of a lion. The Bible. I only use the metaphor figures of the Bible when the Bible is speak. The Bible said that the lion of the tribe of Judah, that means David's lion. The Bible authorized me to say, when I see the head of a lion, it's the tribe of Judah. When I see this other, but others, when I see an eagle, then I see the supply of God of energy, because Isaiah 41 say that. But if the Bible doesn't say it, I stay out. Otherwise, I will be like anybody else. And then you have the right to imagine anything you want. But there are things very short on this. Revelation 9:4. I will be untouched. I will be untouched. Revelation 9 said, God is so patient. Now, the next trumpet, you can read ahead in chapter 10, God is explaining everything. And when everything is ready, God said, no, nobody knows. Hold it. We go to something else. It's amazing how God reserved to himself, even this moment in the life of John, reserved to himself the right to do that. And as Ken has noticed, 200 million people, that's quite, how many we have in Iraq at one moment when we attacked 200,000 or something like that? Imagine. And we thought it was a great army, times 1,000. All right. Is there any other question? Yes. Yes, because they said, I got the idea, the yes, Mildred, because in Revelation 9, they said, and they repented not. So God expected repentance from the other two-thirds, and they did not. And because of Matthew 24 and verse 14, who said, and this gospel of the kingdom will go to the end, then the end will come. So the gospel will be preaching, the unbelievers will be listening, but they will not repent. All right. Is that clarify the point? Yes. How many? Well,
yeah.
Oh, the Christians will be. No. In Revelation 7, the Bible give us a detail. I think I did the work there, but I don't know if I explained that. In Revelation 7, the Bible tell us there will be a great multitude. Let me see if I find the text here, verse 9. After this I beheld, and lo, a great multitude. God has sealed. By the way, in Revelation 7, God has sealed Israel. God has sealed the church, so nobody can damage. And then in verse 9 said, after this I beheld, lo, a great multitude, which no man could number, of all nations and kindred and people and tongues, stood before the throne and before the Lamb, clothed in white robes. So it's going to be a great multitude, no number. Maybe twice the number, maybe 3, 10 times the number it is today. to show the power of God. Yes.
To skip over the word sorceries.
Yes.
I did a word study on that a long time ago, and the word sorceries, the root word there is pharmacy.
Yes, pharmacology.
Drug use.
Drug use. The word is pharmacology, where we get the word pharmacy. It was
pharmacology in Greek means drugs. And so look at verse 21. Fornication, repent of their murders, but their sorceries. That means the pharmacology, not repent of their drugs. So it's very, and we are living in a time where we can see drugs expanded, even medically or whatever, yeah, so on. But again, don't be afraid. And there are a lot of people who listen and have sent me emails and said, oh boy, don't teach any more revelations, it's scary. No, the God will write something to scare you. No, the purpose of revelation is to scare the unbeliever. But the unbeliever cares less, see. I read this passage to the mayor of the city, and he said to me the same thing, they said, Quay. He said, why don't you run for mayor? You scare the people more than heal. That's what they need. Okay, you know, I said, you people who are an authority, you can really use common sense. But this is no common sense to them. See, this is no common sense. Is there any other question? Boy, I'm glad. The class is good. Yes, Russ.
It's not a question, but I believe the Bible and what it says, and I believe that I'm a son of God, and I believe that he is watching
after me. Praise God.
If I don't know what's going to happen at the end of the day, the three is going to affect my
experience
with God. So it doesn't make any difference as far if I don't quite understand. Because there's a lot of stuff in the Old Testament that I did not understand, which I do today.
Well, Russ, let me tell you this.
The purpose of Revelation teaching is not to tell you that I know when the Lord is going to come. The purpose is to tell you the Lord is going to come, things are going to be awful, but it's going to be these things and not the things that we see today. So that's how far we know. And one thing I want you to know, and I want Anthony and Greg and Christina and all Benjamin and all of them to know, the Lord Jesus. Because that's what will save us from all the struggle. That's all. This is not, I'm a professor in prophecy. No, but I know how to read and read it and telling you what it is. All right? And I know there isn't a school in Virginia about the prophetic coming of the Lord. And the professor said, this is like a theater they are going to do. The professor confessed that this is not a real thing, this is a theater. And Pastor Farwell said, well, let's use it because it's going to be great. But it's a theater. No, this is no theater, this is reality. And it's black and white. And like Russ and Ken and all of us said, boy, I don't know how this is going to be put together. Don't worry about it. Are you a Christian? Are you ready for this? That's the way that comes. All right. Larry, you have a question? No. Okay, I don't want a question from you. All right. All right, let's pray. Father, the little things that we know are good to us and to our children, said Deuteronomy 29:29. And so, Father, there are things in Revelation that we do not know. But one thing we know, you're going to come down strong on the world with the purpose of repentance. But they will repent not. Thank God. Thank you, God, that we, our believers, will be untouched. And thank you, Lord, the people, and in spite of this, some people will be saved, a multitude that can be no number. So, God, thank you for telling us that you are in the control. Thank you for securing us that we know that we are believers and that one day we're going to be in your presence. And Jesus, we thank you. Amen. God bless you and give you a good week. Difficult. Difficult stuff.